It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Most of us have had a powerful connection with a song at least one point in our lives. When times are tough, music can be incredibly important, and times don't get much tougher than they were for the soldiers serving during the Vietnam War. This hour, I'll talk with the co-authors of the new book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, The Soundtrack of the Vietnam War. Craig Werner is here with me. He's a music historian. He teaches literature, music, and cultural history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Hello, Craig.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah.
And your co-author, Doug Bradley, is going to join us a little bit later in the hour. Both of them will be at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City tonight at 7 p.m. And throughout the hour, if you are a veteran of the Vietnam War, we would love to hear from you about the music that was important to you during that time, or the music that's still important to you that maybe brings back memories or brings a little healing when you think about that time. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Craig, take me back to where the idea for this book came from.
Well, I was teaching a class on that involved Vietnam at Madison, and had a couple of vets come in to talk to the class. And after that, they asked me to a Christmas party at the Vet Center in Madison. And I met Doug there. Both of his children had had classes from me. He knew we shared a love of music. We got to talking about music, about the songs of Vietnam. And the next thing we knew, there were a bunch of other veterans who had gathered around and started sharing their stories about music in Vietnam. And that was unusual. Vietnam vets are not typically terribly forthcoming about their experience. And so Doug and I got together a few weeks later, and we said, you know, that was interesting. Maybe there's something that should be shared more broadly. And we started out thinking we were going to organize the book around a Vietnam Vets Top 20, the 20 songs that would sum up the experience. Very quickly, when we started talking to people, we discovered it was going to be a top 200, a top 2,000. I'm not sure how many are in the book, a whole lot. And it was a wonderful experience.
So you talk about how reticent many veterans, and this goes for every combat, every war that we've experienced, that veterans often have a really difficult time talking about their experiences. So did you find that music gave you entree into that world in a unique way?
Very much so. We started most of our interviews simply by asking, hey, did you have a song that reminded you of Vietnam? And in more cases than not, it was like turning on a faucet, that the stories just started coming. And it was really stunning. It was an honor for me as a non-veteran. Doug's a veteran. I grew up in a military town, played with a rock and roll band that played for a lot of veterans. So I had an in to the world there. But the music opened up things that I've never found another way to get to.
Let's talk about the access that the people who were serving in Vietnam had to music during the war. I mean, were they listening to the same music that people who were stateside could listen to?
Very much so. That there's one exception to this, which is for the guys who were out in the field in combat, there was no music. It was silence. You needed to be silent.
Right.
It was a matter of life and death, literally. But there were five or six support troops for every one soldier out in the field, which people tend to forget about Vietnam. And in the rear, there was music everywhere. There were guys with guitars, Armed Forces Vietnam radio, blanketed. There were pirate radio stations, underground radio stations. Guys were coming over, men and women were coming over on 12 or 13-month tours. And they didn't come as units. They came as individuals. So there was a constant flow of what was new at home coming in with the soldiers coming over. And particularly in the last days of the war, after morale became a serious problem, the military made a point of giving the soldiers access to as much of the amenities of home as they possibly could to try to keep them as happy as you could be in Vietnam. There was music everywhere except in the field.
Now, a lot of the songs written and released during that time had powerful anti-war messages. Was there any kind of censorship as far as playing those songs for soldiers?
It depended on the time and place. We talked to DJs who said that there were songs that were censored. Our title song, We Gotta Get Out of This Place by The Animals, was censored for a while, but it was not censored later in the war. They gave up on that. We talked to a lot of women who were in Vietnam, the Donut Dollies, who played music for the soldiers, and they said that there were songs like The Beatles, Why Don't We Do It in the Road, that they couldn't play, Eve of Destruction, songs with an explicit anti-war meaning were censored on the radio, but that didn't mean they weren't played by the soldiers in their troops.
Well, when you mention We Gotta Get Out of This Place by The Animals, well, why don't we listen to just a few seconds of that song?
Watch my dad.
That's a little bit of We Gotta Get Out of This Place by The Animals. And of course, your title of the book echoes that that sentiment. That song was not explicitly written about Vietnam.
No, and it wasn't written for The Animals. It was actually written for the Righteous Brothers to be the follow-up to You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling. Cynthia Weil and Barry Mann, who wrote it as a Get Out of the Ghetto song. Their agent sent it to London. The Animals manager found it, said, that's our song. We're coming out of the working class town of Newcastle down to London. That became their song about that. And Eric Burden, when I interviewed him, said that he had no clue that it was important to Vietnam vets until he was at in a store near Fort Benning. A couple of Green Berets came up to him, and he said, I was afraid they were going to kick my hippie butt. And he said they thanked him for
wow.
it. And it became, without any question, the Vietnam Vets national anthem.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Craig Werner, music historian, one of the co-authors of the new book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, The Soundtrack of the Vietnam War. He'll be reading tonight at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City at 7 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the music of the Vietnam War. There's a new book called We Gotta Get Out of This Place, The Soundtrack of the Vietnam War. And Craig Werner is one of the co-authors of that book. He's a music historian. He teaches literature, music, and cultural history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He and his co-author, Doug Bradley, will be at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City tonight at 7 p.m. And Craig, just before the break, we were talking about We Gotta Get Out of This Place by The Animals, and how that song wasn't specifically written for the Vietnam War, but it came to have a great deal of meaning for many of the people who served during the Vietnam War. And there was a lot of music that sort of crossed that threshold. And we heard Chain of Fools, another song. Tell me about the significance of that.
Yeah, there were a lot of songs that meant something very different on the home front and in Vietnam. And Chain of Fools was a song that was, on one level, Aretha Franklin's follow-up to Respect. It was a black woman's song, very specifically. But it was also a song about African-American freedom struggles, the chains echoing the chains of slavery at a moment when black power was coming to the forefront. But in Vietnam, it became a story about the disillusionment of black soldiers after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. They're feeling that if you can't protect my leader on the home front, what am I doing here fighting your war over here? And lots of histories of Vietnam point to the Tet Offensive as being the turning point in the war. But I think the assassination of Dr. King was the same way. We talked to one guy who said that when he heard about it, he just wanted to go out and kill the first white person he met. He said rather than doing that, he took the Lady Soul album with Chain of Pools and listened to it again and again. And when he got to that line, one of these mornings, the chain is going to break, he thought about the chain of command. And he said that I'm just not going to do what they tell me to do any longer. And in the later days of the war in Vietnam, particularly in the rear, the racial divide was a central part of the story, and the music really brings that into relief.
Once you discover that the music was really a window into so many stories about Vietnam, how did you go about collecting the stories and connecting with veterans?
The veterans found the songs for us. Whatever song you heard here, somebody talked about it. It really felt like that after a while. We found the veterans through veterans networks. We'd start talking to one guy, and he'd say, I got this friend who was at Khe Sanh, and he was a big Hendrix fan. We should talk to him. Country Joe McDonald of Country Joe and the Fish hooked us up with a lot of veterans in the Bay Area in San Francisco, and they hooked us up with some guys in East Los Angeles who talked about the Chicano music scene. And it was really just network to network to network. And once it started spreading, it just spread. I think we have a wider range of veterans' voices in this book, black and white, Latino, Native American, men and women, officers, grunts, guys who served in the rear, than in any other book about Vietnam I know. The soldiers wanted to tell their stories.
And this gave them an opportunity to tell them in a way that maybe was less threatening?
Absolutely. And one of the great things about the response the book has gotten, Rolling Stone named this its number one book of the year, and we've been doing a lot of events. And our part of the events is we like to do it, but the great part is the space it creates for the veterans and family members who attend to share their stories. And after every event, we have people come up and say, I'd never talked about Vietnam publicly before. The music touches something that just doesn't get touched otherwise.
And if you have a story you'd like to share this hour, you can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have this message from Mike in Davenport. He said, I'm 62 but had a high draft number. Me and my pals who were drafted especially liked Paul Revere and the Raiders hit Steppin' Out. If you know it, it comes on like hard rock. Then the singer Mark Lindsay voiced something like, well, I had to leave town because of Uncle Sam's deal. We liked that aggressive remark. And he wondered if you had any comments on that particular tune.
Yeah. Paul Revere and the Raiders are one of those bands that comes up surprisingly often. They did a song called Hungry that we had a bit talk about. I'm hungry for those good things. A little bit like Stones. I can't get no satisfaction, which really kicked in. And then they also, they're best known probably for their drug song, anti-drug song, Kicks, which, weirdly enough, was written for the Animals as the follow-up to We Got Get Out of This Place. They didn't want it, so Paul Revere and the Raiders took it. But yeah, Steppin' Out's a great song.
Now, speaking of songs that have a different meaning on the home front than they did to soldiers in Vietnam, I want to talk about Purple Haze. Jimi Hendrix, let's listen to just a few seconds of Purple Haze. Purple Haze by the Jimi Hendrix Experience in 1967. And I can imagine that that's a song that sounded really different in a smoky dorm room or apartment than it did in Vietnam. What did this mean to the vets that you talked to?
Well, at home, it was a drug song. Purple Haze was a kind of LSD. They color-coded the acid at the time. And it was a drug song in Vietnam, too. But In Vietnam, it was a lot of other things. Jimi Hendrix was a member of the 101st Airborne, the Screaming Eagles. He was actually the worst soldier God ever made, and he got asked to leave because all he wanted to do was play his guitar. But he knew that. And so if you're jumping out of airplanes, a line like, "Excuse me while I kiss the sky," means something very, very different.
Right.
And the image of the purple haze plugged in with the smoke grenades when they were leading helicopters into landing zones, they had different colors of smoke, and one of those smoke colors was purple. So landing zones frequently were in literally a purple haze. We also got one of my very favorite stories in the book about a guy who was a tunnel rat. And being a tunnel rat's the worst job ever. The landscape underneath the surface was honeycombed with tunnels in Vietnam that the Viet Cong, North Vietnamese used. And when you found the opening to a tunnel, somebody had to crawl in and see what was there. And they booby-trapped it. They put scorpions in it. All you had was a flashlight and a .45. Talked to one guy who talked about a guy in his unit who was a tunnel rat who would pop a purple smoke grenade and blow the smoke into the hole with a little battery-powered Mighty Mite fan to see where it came out, to get a sense of the landscape. And he would blast Purple Haze on his cassette recorder to announce that he was coming, get out of the way. It didn't have that meaning in Iowa City or Madison or
right.
Boulder.
Wow. Here's an email from Heidi in Des Moines. She said, "I'm listening on my way to the library, and I wish my husband was with me so he could call you with his weird experience as a grunt in Vietnam. As I recall his story, it was New Year's Eve of 1969 near the border. His unit had set up trip flares and were tense, expecting an ambush. I believe they'd sensed that the enemy was somewhere nearby, but no engagement. Then they heard Hey Jude playing, becoming fainter and fainter."
Wow. That's just haunting. And some of those stories about the music where it's not supposed to be, right?
Right.
People pick that up from time to time. One guy talked about how he felt like literally a stream. He was up in I Corps, which is as remote as you could get in the North Vietnam. And he said the stream started singing to him. And I don't know if somebody nearby had some or if it was in his head or what, but just haunting stories like that.
We're talking about the music of Vietnam this hour. I'm talking with Craig Werner. He's one of the co-authors of the new book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, The Soundtrack of the Vietnam War. And joining us now is Doug Bradley. He is the other co-author of the book. He's also a Vietnam veteran and a Madison, Wisconsin-based author and educator. Hello, Doug.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And Craig and I have talked quite a bit about how the idea for this book came about as you were listening to the stories of veterans and how they opened up when the discussion turned to music. And I'm curious for you, as a veteran of Vietnam, what did the music of the time mean to you?
Yeah, it meant just about everything. I don't know if you've gone over this already. I'm sorry if I'm being repetitious, but you know, this was at a time when radio was our internet, and we all connected through the songs that basically became the soundtrack to our generation. And what I found so fascinating about this book is sometimes when you have a conversation with a veteran, you also end up having a conversation with his wife and sometimes his children. And you know, that the music so permeates our experience. Growing up when we did, having the music as accessible as we did, which is what the, in many cases, except for if you were out in the field, the Army replicated when you were in Vietnam. And just to have those songs constantly sort of being there for you to sustain you or to connect you or maybe to heal you is, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. And I think it's very specific to that time and our generation, and especially that war.
I want to go to the phones, and you're welcome to join our conversation, especially if you served in Vietnam and there's a particular song that is meaningful to you. We'd love to hear your story at 866-780-9100, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Paul is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. I think it's really good of you guys writing this book and sharing the memories and the music and the songs that one of the authors just made a comment that radio and records were so much more potent, and in fact, we got, you know, when I was in the war, it was letters were so much important. I can't imagine nowadays with the internet or you know, Skype or whatever they call that. But you know, and so the music, you know, and you know, Good Morning America and Apocalypse Now, just how the music permeated Apocalypse Now, the movie, you know, that soundtrack of our lives. It's just, and there was always a radio on, right? Or music or tape on or something so, in the background.
Paul, can I ask you, do you like to listen to the music that you listened to when you were serving in Vietnam now? Is that a positive experience?
Absolutely. Well, everyone does. They listen to the music of their youth, and that, and fortunately, it was really quality music then. I can't imagine someone growing up in the 80s or something and putting on their pantsuit and listening to the Bee Gees or something and reminiscing, you know, having this, even nostalgic of that. But that's the whole thing about, you know, I can't wait to look at your book and the idea that, you know, brings back, in, you know, the movie The Chambers Brother, that song Time, that was really brings back, and then anything Hendrix, anything, well, yeah.
And Paul, we're going to have to take a break, but thank you so much for sharing your memories with us today. And we will be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Craig Werner and Doug Bradley, co-authors of the new book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, Soundtrack of the Vietnam War. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
I know Senator Sarsa.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'm talking with the co-authors of the new book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. They'll be reading tonight at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City at 7 p.m. And you can join the conversation as well. We know that music has a very special place in the hearts of many veterans of the Vietnam War. And if you have a story you'd like to share, we would love to hear from you. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me, Doug Bradley. He is a Vietnam veteran. He's also a Madison, Wisconsin-based author and educator. And Craig Werner, who is a music historian. He teaches literature, music, and cultural history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And as we went out of that last break, we were listening to Fortunate Son by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Craig, is there a story about that song?
Well, Creedence was as close to the center of what brought people together in Vietnam as you could get. We talked to one guy who we asked about music in Vietnam. He said just two words, Creedence Clearwater. Creedence, John Fogerty, their lead singer, lead guitarist, songwriter, and Doug Clifford, their drummer, were both in the service during the Vietnam era. And so they felt a very, very close connection with vets. I know playing with the band I did at Fort Carson in Colorado Springs, you could always play Creedence and they'd get by. And there was, they wrote songs that echoed Who'll Stop the Rain, Run Through the Jungle, Bad Moon Rising. Vietnam was at the center of who they were, and the vets responded.
Do you want to add anything to that, Doug?
I think Craig said it very well, and I do think that's indicative of something that's lasted over the years when you think about people who still have, you know, we talk about We Gotta Get Out of This Place as being the anthem, but you know, artists who still have that affinity and support from the veteran community. And Craig is absolutely right. And I think part of that is because Creedence, it's become fashionable now to talk about supporting the soldier, even if you didn't like the war. We've done that a lot with the last two wars. Creedence was the one that really started that in Vietnam. They had the guys' backs, and a lot of vets will say that. They knew Creedence, especially in a song like Fortunate Son. They weren't big fans of the Vietnam War, but they had the soldiers back, they had the vets back, and guys really appreciated that.
In World War II, when you think about the music of World War II, a lot of that music was really patriotic. In some ways, it even romanticized the war and the mission that the soldiers were setting out to accomplish. Now, during the Vietnam War, we didn't hear a lot of that kind of music, but there was one kind of exception to that, and that was the Ballad of the Green Berets. And before we listen to a little bit of it, this was unusual for that time, Craig.
Well, it was and it wasn't. We've forgotten about the early soundtrack of Vietnam, which was largely on country radio. And a lot of those songs sound like World War II songs. They're songs about Dear Uncle Sam by Loretta Lynn. They're songs about missing my daddy who's so far away. And there was more, it's not exactly pro-war music, but it's certainly not anti-war music. The caller talked about the movies of Vietnam, and that's kind of tilted our sense of what the Vietnam soundtrack was about. Those songs are important to the vets, but more important are songs like My Girl, Leaving on a Jet Plane, that are about loneliness. And so there's some of that. But you're right, particularly after the escalation, there wasn't much other than the Ballad of the Green Berets that was really pro-war.
All right, let's listen to a little bit of the Ballad of the Green Berets by Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men we'll test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
All right, Ballad of the Green Berets. And that came out in 1966. And it's interesting because to me, it sounds more like a song from the 1950s. And it reached number one for 5 weeks on the Billboard charts. This was kind of an anomaly in some cases. All right, Doug, do you want to say anything about it?
Well, I think anomaly is a great word to talk about. When you think of all the wonderful, fantastic, sort of groundbreaking music that was available in 1966, you know, the Beatles at the top of their game, the Stones, all the great British groups, Motown and the Supremes, Ballad of the Green Berets was the top song of the entire year of 1966, which is pretty amazing. And it has a funny connection significance in that way. But it also, as I think you pointed out, it was really part of an old mentality. We were all the sons of World War II dads. And, you know, our fathers went and answered the call and, you know, stopped the world from fascism and Hitler. And this was our time to go. So it does harken back to, like you said, an older, earlier, kind of more basic kind of patriotism. But the other interesting thing about it is that was relatively short-lived. And what we found in the conversations that we had over the course of 10 years is that was the most parodied song in Vietnam of any other song. You know, soldiers are really good at adapting songs like, the old Roger Miller song, Trailer for Sale or Rent, you know, Rooms to Rent 50. They'll make lines about that conform to the situation they're in. But everybody, the Marines, the Air Force, the Navy, other branches of the Army made fun of the Ballad of the Green Berets, and it sort of became this joke in many ways, rather than sort of hearkening back to that gut call of you got to go up and defend your country.
I want to go to the phones. Dustin is on the line in East Moline. Hi, Dustin.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. And you served in Vietnam, right?
Yes, I was. I was on a PBR, the boats that they had in Apocalypse Now. And it was a whole lot more McHale's Navy than Apocalypse Now, to be truthful.
Welcome home, brother.
At one point, we got the speakers and amplifiers and a cassette deck to play psychological warfare, this horrible Vietnamese martial music, to get the Viet Cong to surrender themselves. Chu Hoy was the program.
Mm-hmm.
And we quickly adapted and sent home and got some other music on cassette that we played, including Alice's Restaurant, which was a big hit. At one point, we were going down the river, the canal, playing the portion where he's on the Group W bench and jumping up and down and going, kill, kill, kill. And the next day, like four of them surrendered.
So Alice's Restaurant was even more effective, huh?
Yes, it sure was. It sure was. We had a good time with playing other music to the Viet Cong.
So, Dustin, when you think back about a song that kind of sums up your time in Vietnam, is it Alice's Restaurant, or is there another one that comes to mind?
Well, yes, but also the title of the book there, We Got to Get Out of This Place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I finally did.
We're glad you did. Welcome.
Dustin, thank you so much for your call. And I want to ask you, Doug, since I asked Paul, who called in earlier, this question, of course we listen to the music of our youth, but also listening to the music of the Vietnam era has to bring back some really tough memories for Vietnam vets, too.
No, I mean, absolutely right. No, and what we found was, I mean, we're really thrilled with the way the book came out, and I think Craig's probably mentioned this already, of how we sort of, became. We removed ourselves more from the story and allowed those voices to come through. But there are a lot of voices that are still muted, and even the memory of the song, or as you're indicating, sometimes an association with that memory. I mean, there's a couple anecdotes we have in the book about the Blood, Sweat, and Tears song and When I Die. And, the guys that got those out to us were almost shaking and weeping by the time they told it. And there were other times where somebody would start to talk to us and they'd get to a song. I mean, a guy was telling me about Rainy Night in Georgia, the old Brooke Benton song. And he just, I've got a song. And he started to talk and his jaw started to quiver and he started to break down. He couldn't talk. So I think you're right. We like to think of, and I think we have, it was indicated to us that there was some healing and some breakthrough that was associated with this. But boy, there's still a lot of pain associated with that whole experience. And the music sometimes isn't enough just to get you through that. And sometimes it takes you back to that difficult time.
Craig, anything you want to add to that?
Just that the power of music and the power of sharing the stories, I think, is the way you get by that. The worst situation is when it's locked up inside. And the music has provided a situation where people can start to talk, and particularly at events like the one we're doing tonight at Prairie Lights, when you're talking with people who share some of it and want to listen. There's been way too little of that in the years since Nam.
We're going to go out with What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, and I know that that's a really important song in your book and in the lives of so many Vietnam vets. Why?
Well, basically because what we discovered and what we found out is that album and that song is really about Marvin Gaye's brother's Frankie, his returning from Vietnam, because his brother Frankie wasn't as lucky as Marvin was. He wasn't a big rock and roll star. He was in the army in Vietnam, and this is his odyssey of coming back home and what he had to confront in terms of unemployment, a divided nation, unacceptance. It's powerful and painful.
Doug Bradley, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
And welcome home. Doug Bradley's a Vietnam veteran. He's also a Madison, Wisconsin-based author and educator. Craig Werner, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Craig Werner is a music historian. He and Doug Bradley are the co-authors of the new book, We Gotta Get Out of This Place, the soundtrack of the Vietnam War. They'll be at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City tonight at 7 o'clock. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. For only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some. Lines and picket signs. Don't punish me.